Big shout out. Check out my boys, One in a Melanin.
Yes, sir. Yes,
we
sir,
might
yes,
have
sir.
To do a little collab here in the near future.
You hear it,
so
first.
Be on the looks.
We're holding you to that.
Be on the looks.
We're holding you to that.
Many months later.
That makes me think, are you good at chess?
I'm amazing at chess.
I know. Oh, okay. I expected that.
I'm beating 1500s right now.
Ooh, are you good at chess?
Huh?
Hey, just know no one has ever beat me in chess.
Oh? Listen, I got the app going right now in the background.
I lie.
I'm a... One, two, three, four games going right now.
Well, that's... Simultaneously, what?
Wow.
Simultaneously.
I'm
winning all of them.
Hey, don't worry. I'm going to run that fade. I'll get it done.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
I love
but
that.
Yeah, it's a chess mindset when it comes to other aspects of life. So, listen, if you don't play chess is all about decisions, and life is all about decisions. So I find that the better you become at chess, the better you become at making choices in life.
I had to learn how to play chess.
You almost see me at Connect Four, though. Now, Connect Four is, like, strategic, too. Like,
yeah, I think it's pretty decisive. I feel like it's really a strategic game.
I want to play Go.
No.
The black and white chess.
I think I might actually go insane if I start playing.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Chess masters go crazy. So I'm trying to, like, get to that level where I don't start going crazy. But if I add Go in there, I just might actually legit go crazy.
That's why I want to pick it up, just because, like, it really, really is a difficult board game. But
yo, have you ever played, Uno No Mercy?
Oh, that's one of those.
Have you seen that?
It's like
regular Uno, but they have, like, new cards, and just like, a plus 100, like, wild card.
Wait, plus
100?
Sorry, what?
No. Was it plus 100 or plus 10?
Yeah, I'm thinking
okay.
Because I'm like, isn't there like 64 cards in the deck? Like,
I think it's plus 10. I'm tweaking.
We gotta collect like everyone's card on their hand. Like,
it's plus 10. Yeah, no, they have some.
Not happening, bro.
Nah, if you thought Uno ruined friendships, Uno No Mercy is definitely more sinister, I'll say the very least.
Oh, I mean, I've come up with some variations. I'll tell y'all off camera, but they're pretty intense.
Hey, do you guys follow like the Unos? It's the Mattel. I think it's Mattel that makes Uno cards, right?
Mattel, yeah.
Yeah. So like Mattel. So like, do you follow their base rules, or is it like the street rules, where it's like if you can like
full street,
right? Yeah.
If you follow, they're wrong.
No, we don't. Listen, I take the cards, and that's it. It's almost like, you know how Uno's like, thanks for the cards, we got it from here. We have a version called California Prison Uno, and that one, people would see me playing it on Snapchat, and it would get so intense that I would post the highlights of it, that people were like, Swoozy, post a tutorial of this thing, please. So I think on my Tumblr, so if you type in California Prison Uno on Google search, my Tumblr might pop up.
Interesting.
When you get that thing rolling, that gets intense.
Oh,
that
nah.
really gets intense.
Because I've heard you mention that in one of your past videos.
Yeah, it's on Tumblr.
Huh? Yep, it's on. He has the Tumblr pulled up right now.
Find it.
Yes, yep. Sir. California Prison Uno rules. Only took me a few years to finally explain the rules. You were gatekeeping the rules for a minute there. He said.
There's so much I typed, bro. It's a lot to explain.
Hey,
oh,
wait. Yo, hold on. This is still going.
Damn. Yeah, now he scrolled for a little bit.
Yeah, it took me a minute, but yeah, that get some friends over when somebody pulls out the tequila or the vodka, that adds to the shenanigans. So yeah,
interesting.
We have an episode of us playing Uno. We might have to run this. Like,
we might have to. Keep in mind, I won two games out of three of that day. I'm not gonna lie,
it's okay.
I won two games out of three in Uno that day.
Extreme Con.
Ooh, are you going to Extreme Con?
There's a very high percentage chance. Yes. The boys and YouTube are very happy with how this one turned out, and then my, you know, presence there, so there's a very high chance that there's already plans being made.
When I tell you, bro, let me explain how I ran into Swoozy at DreamCon. So I'm at DreamCon, I only went for that Saturday, so I decided, okay, you know what, it's like 7 o'clock, you know, let me just go upstairs, grab some merch, let me head out, screw it. Just did everything. I got a bunch of interviews done. Half of them were muted. I'm really upset about that. But I got a bunch of interviews done. I go upstairs. I'm like, all right, let me look for some merch. I walk by. I see the little sign that says, oh, merch this way. I start walking down. I'm like, why is there a line outside? I walk. I turn back. I walk away. I double take. Is that Swoozy? So I see that the line is short. I'm like, I'm not even going to waste time. I curl in. I wait in line. not even freaking 15 seconds after I get in line, 80 people get behind me, and I'm just like, oh, that's crazy. My camera was dead, my mic was dead, but there's a cool guy in front of me. My phone died, but there's a really cool guy in front of me that I talked to. He was really cool. He held my spot in line. I literally plugged in my camera battery into the wall as I'm waiting. I'm chatting with him. The dude standing behind me had a power bank that I could plug my phone into. So I'm charging my phone with this guy. I'm charging my camera battery over here, and like, I'm gonna get a video with this man. So I get everything lined up. I use my phone as a mic, and we recorded the small interview that I had with you. And I was really, really appreciative because this was such a huge opportunity, period, just to be able to interact with you in person, because I've been watching you online my whole life. So being able to interact with you and then getting the video.
I love to interact with, I mean, as an artist at the core, we always just want an audience. Yeah. So, I mean, otherwise you guys are just pictures and text on the screen in the comment section. So when I actually get to meet you guys and to see and feel the energy, like, that's my payment, you know? So I can stay up there all day. VidCon 2014, my meet and greet started at 10 a.m. and it ended at 2 a.m. the next day. So I don't know, quick math on that, maybe 14 plus hours.
Geez.
So wow. DreamCon for 7 hours was nothing. And like, the YouTube staff came out, they're like, oh my God, have you been here this whole time? I'm like, oh, this is cake for me right now.
Yo, I genuinely do appreciate that, because that's, not only is that like just your time being used, right? But just in general, it's just like, bro, your legs gonna get tired. They gotta get tired.
Well, I would do it again. I did it for all 3 days. So I literally stood there doing like the meet and greet stuff, because I just love to meet you guys. And also, side note, you guys are the boss. Like, I do understand, but I don't understand. Like, I have some friends who are digital big names and some like traditional big names and some NFL and NBA people that I know. And a number of them just don't like interacting with their fans. I'm just like, how, where, and part of it is twofold. So like in LA, even the normies, I'd say, the non-public figures in LA, they always try to act like their time is too valuable. So if you text them, they'll take a day to text back, oh, I'm too busy, oh, I'm going to cancel, because they want to give off the appearance that they're too good. But that's kind of how I use my rational to think, all right, when it comes to the actual celebrities, why do they act this way?
Yeah.
And some of the producers I've kind of run into over the years, they say the same thing. It's like, it's an act for some people, but then the act becomes real, and they actually don't like their fans. They're like, yeah, you don't like your fans. Like, who do you like?
Nah, because...
But granted, I mean, there are some experiences that I've heard. Like, so for example, when I first started messing with DirecTV back in the day, they put us through media training. And the first thing the teacher teaches you is, if you're not okay with people going through your garbage at the end of the driveway, this isn't the industry for you. If you're not okay with people sitting at the end of the driveway taking pictures of you through your blinds, this is not the industry for you. You know, people start getting in front of cameras, and then people start asking for pictures, and they start thinking they're not normal, or that they're better than. So even still, like, I try to condition myself to not ever refer to my subscribers as fans, because then that puts me in a position of authority over everybody who likes me. So I just say, they're my internet friends, is what I try to keep in mind. But, I mean, even that can... There's lines now, dude, because people will say, oh, I messaged you when I was 17, and you messaged me back. You're messaging a minor. I'm like, bro, I'm responding to fan mail. What do you mean? people will try to get a story, too, especially now that people understand that attention is the new currency. They'll amplify and say, like I mentioned this in my blind date at Chick-fil-A video, that I can't even jokingly flirt on Twitter anymore, because people can take that as evidence. They're like, oh my God, look, you guys see, he's a creep. And it's like, so I would say that's the only, I shouldn't say only, that's one of the main drawbacks to nowadays, is everybody understands that attention is the new currency. So I have to walk on eggshells a lot. So after that, I don't really look at girls' stories anymore, because it's just me. If you're a dude, I'll watch your stories. Otherwise, that's pretty much it, man. So otherwise, yeah, everybody that approaches me, yes, you can get a picture, you can get me to sign whatever, I'm Gucci, but there are some corners that I have to be very careful about, because people just want a story.
You gotta play it safe sometimes. And that's...
I've worked too hard. I've worked way too hard to have somebody come up in here like, he touched my butt at PAX. Like, bro, really? You know, because all it takes is an allegation. He touched my butt at VidCon. Like, come on, guys. Let's be for really real right now, you know?
It's funny you mentioned this. I have a question for you. So what are the most popular assumptions do you feel people have about you that aren't necessarily true?
Okay. One thing that's a little annoying is, there's a few, but I'll tell a story about something that was like just crazy or ratchet or whatever the case, and they'll be like, bro, why are you talking about this? Like, you shouldn't be dealing with this at your age. And I'm like, bro, this story happened like 15 years ago, but the assumption is this just happened to me over the weekend.
Mm.
So that's one. Another assumption, I'm trying to think of a few. I try to just like, I hear them, I see them, I keep moving, and like, that's the other part too. All criticism, there may be a little bit of truth in the majority of criticism that you get. So I try to kind of take the criticism and keep it pushing, not harp over it, because as I'm sure you guys have seen, you can get 100 positive comments and that one negative one just has you like, you know?
Yeah, okay.
So, assumptions. Oh, assumptions that I'm single. For all you know, I'm married with kids.
Wait, what?
For all you know. That's another one that's just like, bro, you're still out here going on dates? What are you doing? Like, no one wants to date you. I'm like, how do you know my relationship status? So that's, I'd probably say those are two main ones.
Wait, Swoozy?
For all they know.
I've always seen Swoozy as the, I'm just a bachelor. Like, that's the
that part, you know?
No, but I love that because so, it's like, it also ties back to the last episode where it's like, these creators will only, you only see what the creator allows you to see.
Right.
So it's like, we're only able to see what information he puts out there, so we don't know about their private lives. So like the Nika Kato Avocado situation, he's posting videos of him eating a whole bunch of stuff. Little do we know he's losing weight behind the scenes.
Right.
So it's like,
hey,
impressive, and that's an impressive social experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the other movies are kind of just like, or TV shows are just remakes of something that was popular, and there's no real creative, like, inspiration added into it. It was just like,
same goes with music. A lot of the songs that you see out nowadays will be sampling some old song that was popular back then. Uh-huh. They just remake it into like a drill or like into some sort of Jersey beat or some sort of dance beat or whatever, just to recreate that magic that was back then rather than being original.
I mean, even like with R&B too, because like a lot of R&B music is like, it's kind of, low key, they're kind of like just sampling older songs, or they're utilizing so many production into their music. Like, that's why I say like a lot of the R&B singers, they didn't grow up in the church. Like, obviously we're Muslim, but like they didn't grow up in, like, I want to hear that gospel.
The soul.
Like, yeah, like there is no soul in music no more. So I feel like that, I think that's what it is too. Like, there's no soul in Hollywood anymore.
Just in the entertainment industry.
So. And they've explained that to me too. So the stuff that I'm bringing to them essentially is new IP, and they say they feel safest when it's a reboot or a sequel or a remake, because they know that if I put up $10 million and it's a Minecraft movie, they know that Minecraft already has a built-in fan base. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or if it's, I'm spending $100 million making HBO's Last of Us, that has a built-in fan base, so that's going to help me get a little bit more of a push, and there's a higher chance that I'm going to get an ROI on that $10 million that I put up, versus if you came with a new Matrix. So, I mean, obviously, Matrix is a franchise that's established now, but when it was part one, that was new IP, and they would take those risks back in the day that they won't take now, so that's why you're going to see Snow White live action, Mufasa remake,
again?
Yeah, Team 7, you know? Yeah. All these things, Minecraft, or, you know, all the other things that are coming down the pipeline, because they feel like that's their safest bet, and even those are losing money. Toy Story 5, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So we're doing a smooth transition, or we're just going to do, hey, everybody!
We can do like that then.
I already did it.
Oh, okay.
That was it.
Okay, cool. We got a rapid fire question round for you. We got a list of questions that we have. Just assorted questions, random questions, whatever it is. And we're gonna give you, should we do a minute?
Let's do a minute.
So we'll do a minute. We'll do a minute on the timer, and we'll just try to get through as much questions as possible. See how quick you are on your feet. Does that go with you?
I'll set up a timer on my end too.
Cool beans.
Alright.
Let me get a timer ready. You said a minute, right? Cool. And 3, 2, 1, start.
Old Cartoon Network or new Cartoon Network?
Old.
Do aliens exist?
Yes, good chance.
Who's the worst character in Family Guy?
Bravo, Meg.
Ah!
Hey, time is running. He didn't say
that. He said Meg.
Okay, favorite superpower.
What was that?
Favorite superpower.
Oh, teleportation or time travel?
Family Guy or American Dad?
Family Guy, 100%.
Is water wet?
Yes.
Dream collab. Wait, he said water.
Oh. 10 seconds.
I'm gonna say
I brought pass. I'm gonna have to come back to you on that one.
Is a hot dog a sandwich or a taco?
Sandwich.
Time's up.
Dang.
You come up with a dream collab, man, because how I look at it is I want to grab an audience that I don't already have. Okay, so I'll say right now, who's the wet girl right now that everybody's seeing her stuff?
Oh, the Hawk Tua?
Who's that girl?
Wait, which girl?
Do that again?
No, I can't do that again.
Oh, we couldn't hear you.
We couldn't hear it. Like, it was...
The white girl who's... Everybody's talking to her. She was on Disney Channel, and now she...
Oh, Sabrina Carpenter.
Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yes. I would say she'd be the dream collab right now, only because I feel like she has an audience that I don't have. And I found from all of my collabs, whenever I collab with girls who have a lot of strong female demographic, those are the most dedicated. I mean, if you look at the Beatles, if you look at Bieber, One Direction... Not on some, oh my god, I want to be surrounded by girls, but on some, you want a dedicated fan base? If you walk into a girl's room and you see posters of Bieber everywhere, that's normal. If you walk into a dude's room and you see posters of pretty much anybody, that's not so normal.
Yeah. I'm
trying to show you that girls, when it comes to fandom, they fan hard, they will share it with their friends, they will put their pictures up, they will have you as their wallpaper. So I would say Sabrina Carpenter, only because I feel like she has a very dedicated fan base.
I'll give you that. That's solid.
Who would your dream collab be?
Test, man. Always test.
My dream collab?
You said R.
No,
that's supposed to be for me now.
My dream collab, I like what Niall said about Key and Peele.
Oh, okay,
salute
yeah.
Salute to Key and Peele, because I really like, not only do I like their skits a lot, but just to see their creative, like, mind. To figure out what they do.
Dude,
that...
I want to collab with them and their writers, because I'm sure it's a package deal.
The only person that I actually saw and reached out and that I heard, and I was kind of just like, I'm too busy, was actually Casey Neistat. And we had the same YouTube manager at the time. You guys are familiar with Casey Neistat, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't want to assume. And I remember my manager was like, hey, so there's this guy, he's up and coming, his name is Casey Neistat. I'm like, oh, okay, what kind of content does he do? It's like, he does, like, travel stuff. I'm like, okay, does he want me to travel with him? He's like, he doesn't know what he wants to do with you, but he just wants to do something with you. And I just hit him with the, all right, well, let me get back to you. Granted, was very busy. Still busy now, but was very busy. But when I hear this, I was kind of just like, all right, well, I mean, if you're doing travel, I don't do travel. I do animation, so I guess whatever. And fast forward a month. And he flew to L.A., and I was doing a collab with Lily Singh, Superwoman.
Hey!
He was there. And I remember we were in the same elevator, and I'm like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. My name is Susie, because I saw that he was going to the same floor. And I'm like, oh, you're here for Lily Singh? He's like, yeah. So, didn't know who he was, didn't know his face. So I was like, oh, nice to meet you, I'm Susie. He's like, yeah, Casey. And he gave me this look, kind of like, I reached out to you, you never got back to me. He's like, hey, Casey. And I'm like, one more month, and he is just freaking exploding everywhere. So, from that, I did apologize later. I'm like, listen, bro, no tea, no shade. I've not thrown anything at you, but I didn't know what kind of videos you were trying to do. I didn't really see a fit, so that's why I didn't really get back to you. But that taught me to, anytime anybody reaches out, doesn't matter, like, treat them like you would treat somebody that you're trying to collab with. So that was the one time where it was a situation where I was like, dude, let this be a lesson to always treat people like, hey, if they want to collab with you and their stuff aligns and it's not on some, they're too profane or they're too vulgar, then hear them out. So remember me when y'all blow up.
Hey.
Yeah. We're looking up again. That's just know that. That's for certain.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna just act like I ain't never met him a day in my life. I'm completely joking, by the way. You said swoop. Adam Day? What's it that? No.
Nah.
No, me for sure. No, I'm absolutely no. We'll do a bunch of stuff hopefully in the future. I have no problem with that. What was I about to say again? Do we want to talk about Cat Williams or no?
Hey, we can talk about Cat Williams. Cat Williams predicted everything.
Interesting. What was that interview that was back in January?
Club Shay Shay.
Yeah.
Club Shay Shay.
Right. And then he literally said, 2024, it's over for all y'all. Diddy, TDJs. Like, he started name dropping and saying, it's over for all y'all. So what theories do y'all have as to how he knew something was about to go down? I have a theory, but I would like to hear y'all's.
Cat Williams is a time traveler.
Look at his necklace. That's a medallion for time travel. I was like, oh. Mm-hmm.
No. I just think it's just years and years in the industry and just starting not to care much about what other people think. You build up a reputation to where people are like, they know you know stuff, and like, they don't wanna, you know, they tread carefully, but at the same time, when you're dealing with someone that may or may not be unhinged at that moment in time, just like, epic, you know, I'm just gonna talk about it.
Cat Williams hasn't been unhinged for like years now. Yeah, so I feel like.
And they tried to frame him that way at one point. Remember they tried to make him look like he was crazy? So it's like, when you deal with enough of that, I feel like at a certain point, you just stop caring about certain connections. You know, so you're just like, screw it, I don't care. Like, who do I have to impress? I made my money. I have my friends.
That's actually well said, because, like, the way it was structured for Cat Williams, like, they made him look crazy. Even when that video with Club Shay Shay dropped, they still doubled down and tried to make him look crazy.
Yeah.
The video of him getting beat up like a 15-year-old, they, like, brought that back up. And I feel like they're... A bad thing with Cat Williams, I just think, like, he just knew, like, the way, like, what's happening in the world, so like, socially, like, the way people are communicating with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, like, he knew that it's time's up for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, they got Bill Cosby, they got R. Kelly.
Yo, this year, though, how would he know in 2024 it was good?
Oh, yeah, no, he's a time traveler.
My theory is, when Cassie came forward, FBI slipped in and be like, okay, why do you think you have grounds for a case here? Talk. She probably started name dropping some people. Cat Williams, I'm assuming, was one of the names that she said he can corroborate because he's been at parties. Jay-Z can corroborate, he's been at parties. So she probably named a bunch of people. They probably then said, who can we talk to kind of corroborate what Cassie's saying? And then when they contacted Cat, maybe they called him in, maybe they went to him, maybe there was a phone call. And Cat is smart enough to be like, okay, are you asking about Diddy? Okay, well, here's what I've seen. Here's what I know. What do y'all know? Da-da-da-da-da. Cool, click, bye. Then, like, it's over for this dude. It's over for this dude. It's over for that dude, is my theory on it.
Wow.
And Cat Williams definitely was him. So, like,
yeah, I mean, hey, it's fair enough. Speaking of foreshadowing, seeing as we believe that he foreshadowed everything in 2024 thus far, how do you feel, Susie, knowing that however many years ago you foreshadowed the Drake and Kendrick rap battle?
Oh, God. He was speaking to Obama about that.
For those who don't know, he had a whole...
That I created it, some say.
That's so crazy to me. Because, you might have played a role in that. No, I don't think so.
Let's find out. Smoothie's also a time traveler.
Let's talk about it. Were Kendrick and Drake beefing back in 2016? That's the question.
I'm sure there were subs. I don't know for sure.
No, they were.
Yeah, I'm sure there were some.
Because
the control verse as well.
Yeah.
The control verse
is not a diss track. It's not a diss track.
But the thing is, any documentary that I've seen about this thus far about the control verse, not even just a Drake. They're saying that Drake's the only one that got upset about it.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, all your rapper friends are like, hey, we're cool.
Huh?
I can tell y'all how it came about from my end. How it came about. I wasn't aware that they were beefing. Because at the time, Meek Mill and Drake were beefing out in the open.
Yes. Yeah.
So when it came time, like, what questions you're going to ask him, da-da-da-da-da, I wrote them all down. And the only person that really saw them was the producer of the whole show. Because they had an Elays on that was in between White House and YouTube. And his name was Steve. Very cool guy.
So I'm talking to Steve, and I'm like, what do you think of this question? What do you think of that question? And they let me have total reign. They didn't try to steer it, nothing. So it was not orchestrated at all, any of those questions. Those are all me. So when it came time to the end, I'm like, I want to ask some fun ones. Because, listen, we can save the serious stuff for the reporters, all right? I want to ask fun stuff. So they saved this fun stuff in the lightning round at the end. So when it came time for the one of the last ones, I want to do Star Wars, and I want to do something in the rap community. Because I also know that this is a collab between White House and me. So I want to make sure that it's a nice little synergy.
Yeah.
So gave some to the Star Wars community, and then when it came to the rap game, I wanted to ask, what's your opinion, Obama? Do you think Drake beat Meek Mill or what? Because it's pretty obvious to me. So then Steve was like, well, if it's obvious to you, don't you think it's obvious to everybody else? And I'm like, never looked at it like that. He's like, and it's pretty much already, the dust has settled upon that. So I like that you have Drake involved. Do you maybe want to throw somebody else in there? And I'm like, I'm like, who would you use, Steve? He was like, I mean, this is your question, so you can pick whoever you want. I would go with Kendrick. And I'm like, you know, that is pretty good. Is it okay if I use that one? He was like, go for it. So then I said, and now y'all getting a little bit of an exclusive here.
Ooh.
I might have said this in another interview somewhere, that's why I say it a little bit of an exclusive. A lot of people don't know this. I then say, oh, bro, Obama is too commercial. He's not going to know that Kendrick is such a lyricist. So Obama's clearly going to say Drake. And he's like, I don't know, Swooze. I think he might surprise you with that one. So I'm like, whatever, Steve. We'll see. So it came time for the question, and they were warning me, like, if you push back on anything, you potentially lose something else in there because you've got 15 minutes on the dot or whatever, how much time it was. It might have been 10. So I pushed back on the Black Lives Matter question because I wasn't a fan of how it was. It seemed very like blanket answer. So I pushed back and I wanted to keep talking about Black Lives Matter. So I lost another question about Chipotle, believe it or not.
Mm.
It was Chipotle and pollution. That one definitely exclusive because I never talked about that anywhere else. But I definitely did not want to lose the Drake and Kendrick one. So I threw out the Chipotle one. I kind of tossed that card aside. Got to the end. And when I asked, who would you pick in a rap battle between Drake or Kendrick? And he says, Kendrick, if you'll notice, if you watch that clip, I look off camera and do this. Right? I'm looking at Steve. I'm looking at Steve who's next to the camera because I'm like, oh, shoot, he actually picked the dude.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was, like, caught up like that. So when he goes, oh, I got to go with Kendrick, I go like that. And I think Obama was like, oh, shoot, did I say something wrong? Because you see his hands twitching a little bit. He's like,
yeah.
Kendrick. But here's why. He's a lyricist, and this. So I think Obama was like, oh, shoot, did I say something wrong?
Mm.
But in reality, it was the correct answer. And I was just shook because I swore, like, I almost put money down that Obama was going to pick Drake.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Fast forward however many years later, 2024, they're going back and forth. We see how it turned out, right? So it's like... And again, this is all subjective, right? But it's still wild to me to see how things have just got to this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah.
This is insanity.
Well, the other thing too is I remember Drake dropped Summer 16 immediately after that interview, and my phone blew up. Like the day it dropped, my friends in Canada were hitting me up like, look what you started. I'm talking about Obama's cars are bulletproof, like his lyrics, and you did that, bro. So I was like, oh shoot, he could have name dropped me at least.
Absolutely.
Right. And then White House called me back for a second interview. So then on the second interview, I was like, Obama, bro, we could do a mix because he kind of clapped at us. Well, more specifically you, but I felt part of that. So if you want to do a mixtape, we could kind of clap back at him. Let me know what you want to do with your ghostwriter. But that was a good time. And they called back a third time, but that one fell through. I pushed it back. The dates were a little bit weird, but they wanted me to come through and hang out with Obama and Leo DiCaprio. And I totally dropped the ball on that one, man. I love Inception so much.
I saw that in the video.
Yeah, I would have asked nothing but Inception questions. but yeah, no. So lesson learned there also is if Obama's people ever hit you up, don't push back. Just
oh,
if you're free, say...
Oh yeah, now I'm playing basketball against Obama.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he can shoot. He's a shooter, bro.
Hey, I'm blocking. Like, what? Like, yo.
Nah. Yo, speaking of basketball, you mentioned this, bro. Swoozy, I saw you at the end of your documentary playing basketball with a with the little kid. I think I'm questioning your skills right now.
Now I edit too much, but I used to be much nicer than I am now.
If we gotta pull up, we gonna pull up. We gotta play chess. We gotta play basketball. We gotta play Uno.
Yo,
California Prison Uno.
24 hours with Swoozy. Hey,
come on now. Come on.
It's on video.
Let's just put this out there.
Hey.
24 hours with Swoozy.
Not now, but sometime in the next 2 years, I'm calling it 24 hours with Swoozy.
It's crazy because
we'll see.
Yeah. Alright, so we have another segment for you. So we're gonna do, we know you're the fashionista, right? You're the swag master, right? You got all types of outfits on, you check out his videos, you see it all the time. So I'm gonna send you three photos. And I want you to rate these outfits 1 out of 10. Alright? Outfit number one.
I mean, it's a solid 8 out of 10. 8.5. Solid 8.5 out of 10 for that year, because I would actually get compliments on that fit. I mean, look down to the Adidas, bro.
I'm not gonna lie.
Carefully, it's got the same red as the Tommy shirt. Let's be clear.
I think it'd be valid.
If the t-shirt was slightly cropped, like it would actually be valid.
Because it's a Yachty type fit. This is what everyone wears now, except it would be like Tim's as opposed to.
I'd actually rock that right now.
That's valid.
And then Billie Eilish bringing the baggy stuff back. So I mean, I had the earrings, I had the gold chain. It was fresh fit, man.
Outfit number two.
Oh, man. I'm going to say that's a 9.5 out of 10.
That is valid.
Listen, when you clean up, I mean, that's Penguin situation right there. 007, come on now.
Hey, he looks like he has a walking
stick. That's a bow tie. Talk to me.
That's valid. I'll give you that.
How sharp that jawline is, bro. I'm trying to get my jawline back to that situation right now.
Last one.
Oh, okay, that's probably going to have to be the lowest. I'm going to explain a little backstory.
Yeah, I was wondering.
This on video. The helmet was for breakdancing, and I was really trying to learn the head spin.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So that's what the bicycle helmet is all about. But that one, I look a little bit,
Did you nail the head spin?
Can I still head spin? Is that what you said?
Like, did you nail it?
Did you ever get it?
Oh, I think I got like 3 rotations, and then I started noticing a bald spot, and I'm like, this is not worth my.
You gotta wear the beanie, man.
So thank God it started to grow back, because I was like, bro, no, I can't be going bald at 17, you know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
That's why I switched to the motorcycle helmet, but then even then I started getting indentations on the side of my head, so I was like, you know what, no, this move is taking too much for my sexy right now.
What mark do you want to leave as a creator?
I definitely want to inspire people, man. We're all trying to figure out our purpose, you know, why are we here, all that fun stuff. I'm definitely a fan of helping others. I feel like if we all do a little bit, it adds up to be a lot. So if it's just a one-line soundbite, I will definitely say that if we all do a little bit, it'll add up to be a lot. But I also know what it's like feeling alone. So as a creator, I want people to feel like they're not so alone. So you'll see that when I do start dropping content that's longer form, there's definitely going to be a lot of undertones. There's going to be some overtones. So as a creator, I want to challenge people. Adonde actually means challenger. That's the meaning of that name. So I didn't want to live up to my name as a challenger. But at the same time, too, just understand anybody that's watching this, maybe in the future, maybe presently, I'm never trying to offend anybody. So don't ever feel offended when I'm trying to challenge you. A good friend, a good person around you is going to challenge you. They're not just going to be like, oh, you got it together, you got this. No, we're all works in progress. So I do it in my videos now. I have a lot of sprinkles of undertones and positivity, even when I'm talking about strip clubs. I still make sure to massage some good stuff in there. But as a creator, I just want to challenge people, man. I definitely want to challenge the way you see the world. I want to challenge your perceptions. I want to challenge all that, because I feel like if we're all on a path, why not be on a path to being the best version of ourselves that we possibly can be? So if I can do that through my craft, let's go. Primarily, I'm on YouTube and Instagram right now. I'm probably going to dip my toe back into the Snapchat and a little bit of TikTok. We'll see. It's just those 24 hours a day, man. I like to take naps. Animation is tiring. Editing is tiring. So I'm trying to do as best I can with the 24 that I have. But yeah, hit me up on Instagram if you want to chat. I have a lot of DMs that come through. So if I don't get to you, it's not personal. Just keep on messaging. I know it feels... I feel some type of way when I'm hitting up the people that I want to reach out to that I admire, and I'm seeing myself message 2 and 3 times. I know you might feel some type of way, but when you do that each time, try to time it because it gets pushed back to the top, and that's your best chance of me seeing your stuff. So if you want to communicate, either the YouTube comments or Instagram DMs is the best way to get a hold of me. Or sometimes Twitter. I check the tweets every now and then. So those are the best right there.
And there's,
oh, my MySpace.
There's no cap in his on his MySpace, yo. And there's no cap in his rap because he actually did respond to our DMs.
Yes.
He actually, the message was sent at DreamCon. He said, I'm going to look at it. So when next time you message me, I'll get a notification. This guy actually means the truth. So
very, very stand-up gentleman. We genuinely do appreciate how interactive you've been with us, how open you've been to collaborating with us and just really wanting to see us do well. And I really do appreciate that wholeheartedly. We really appreciate that wholeheartedly.
Hey, I'll blow up and become rich and famous. Just don't forget us little people. That's all.
Hey, now.
Hey, man. Listen, all of us are going to be chilling at the Maldives. Like, that's it. Like, we're all of us. All of us.
We'll be somewhere good.
I don't know why the Maldives, but
half. Maldives is beautiful, bro. From what I see online. I was in there.
Hey, or we're all going to kick it in Detroit. Like,
whatever it is, inshallah. I hope we get to have a good time.
We're going
to
hopefully one day link up again. Hey, 24 hour with Swoozy coming.
We have to say this now because we don't. We never have it happen.
In a Walmart.
Hey,
Walmart?
Hey.
Yo.
He said it.
I'm with
he
it.
He said it again. He said it. It's too late now.
Hey, Walmart, if you catch us at
Walmart with Swoozy, understand we're going to be there the whole night, bro.
Title: 24 hours with Swoozy in a Walmart, Apple Vision Pro / Logan Paul, not clickbait, in parentheses, emotional Ouija board. Boom.
Hey, yo. I promise you that's hitting 100 million.
That's done. The internet will never be the same after that. Like,
oh, my God.
But I appreciate you.
Thank
Swoozy.
You so much, Swoozy. Always
have
a pleasure.
Have a great rest of your day, man.
Take care of yourself, brother.